You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about reasons not to cheat. Reasons not to cheat. Did you know that 20% of married men and 13% of married women have claimed to have engaged in sexual activity with someone outside their marriage? Infidelity rises as people age. Did you know that?
So how you have this data?
This data?
Because it's secret when the people cheat, not share this information.
Yeah, well, you know what? If they're cheating, are they telling the truth? So you think some people embellish their answers. You think, if I cheat in real life, I may cheat on my answers with you also.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's why always data always says men cheat more because men lie more, right?
Mm-hmm. So maybe you can increase 20% more of the data.
So you think it's more rather than less. Interesting. Again, though, 20% of married men and 13% of married women, it is said, have had physical relationships outside of marriage, that infidelity rises as people age.
Mm-hmm.
So what I find interesting about this, they said that women in their 60s, 16% of them, 60 and older, have been in
waiting to affairs. The 16 years old
when they're 60 to... no not start it's just more
okay so it's okay I have to wait 20 years more.
That's what it is. The guys leave. Where are the guys? Gotta find guys. And men go from 20% to 26% have claimed in their 70s. When men are 70 and older, you know what I think it is,
like,
my uncle. No, it's
a
When you're 70 years old,
I decide to be infidelity. Okay, go ahead. And the wife say, go ahead.
You're the only man left when you're 70,
yeah,
right?
It's course.
Like you and your wife, you retire somewhere, and all these other guys are passing away, and you're the only guy left. So, of course, you're doing a service,
mm-hmm.
right? You're helping out the community.
Exactly.
Right? Otherwise, all those women would be very angry. So you're trying to bring love and joy to all those senior
love.
Women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe it's a government program, right?
Sure.
Medicare or something like that.
Cheating care.
All right, it's not. My take on this higher rate of infidelity of seniors is one, that when younger people do it, they are so likely to split. You know, and by the time you're 60 or 70 years old, you may maybe you still cheat. Maybe you always cheated, but now you're just staying in marriage. So maybe you were one of those 20% of men or 13% of women who cheated when you were younger, and you're still doing it, but you're still together. Whereas other people split up when they were younger. I don't know. So maybe more old people cheat because it's not worth getting a divorce. It's not worth the hassle of money, of how to support each other.
Yeah, so it's some kind of the level of your life that you say, why I need to separate and have some agreement. Some couple have like the open relationship, you know? So.
And then every day you tell me you cheat on me, and by the end of the day I forget.
Who told you?
I forget. So let's keep on going with this. This is the reasons, and before we talk about the reasons not to cheat, we want to talk about why people say they cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And here are 8 reasons that have been brought about from different varying magazines, articles, and studies as to why people say they cheat. And why I say why they say they cheat, because we don't necessarily agree with that these are the reasons. These are the reasons they give. But
for them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have, liar people.
from liar people.
Yeah.
But people, when they cheat, they have to give a reason. You know, it's not my fault.
Exactly.
This is what happened.
It's my stress, the routine,
so
blah, blah,
sad,
blah, blah.
Yeah. So terrible.
I have some, what is it called, DC problem in my brain.
Oh, come on, baby. Thanks. She's picking on me now. All right, fine. Here we go.
What?
Here we go. Now, we've all been in difficult relationships, and sometimes we've had opportunities, or not opportunities, but we're with the wrong person, and we find somebody else, and so we kind of get into a relationship accidentally, right? We accidentally get into a relationship.
Because I am so distracted.
What was that?
Yeah, accidentally.
We'll talk more about that later, actually. So here are the 8 reasons. Number 1, lack of love.
Okay.
Number 2, anger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm angry at my partner, so I'm going to cheat on them.
Okay.
I don't want to spend any more time with them because I'm so angry. And here's somebody I'm not angry with, so I'll go have a relationship
revenge,
with them.
Revenge.
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute. I guess there is revenge in there. Self-esteem. When somebody has low self-esteem, they may look for the support of somebody else who finds them attractive. Now that builds their confidence, builds their self-esteem. Low commitment. And this is more typical with guys than women, but somebody who has low commitment in a relationship more likely to cheat. A need for variety, because variety is the spice of life.
Yeah.
Neglect. Oh, they neglected me. I feel neglected. Sexual desire. Oh, you were talking about this the other day, right? Mm-hmm. About, oh, I'm addicted to having sex. I'm addicted.
Yeah.
Right? And then last, situation or circumstance. We're going to break all those down into more detail to kind of discuss what those are as reasons and what might cause those reasons, and maybe
excuse.
Well, excuse, but maybe there are ways to not have those reasons. But these things are very interesting. For instance, now lack of love is the number one and most common cause that people cite for infidelity. They say it's the most painful and the most common. I am not feeling love. There's no love in our relationship, so it's sought outside the relationship. When the lust and attraction subsides in the existing relationship, when there's a lack of connection. Oh, here's some things. So I'm going to take this off the screen, and we'll just talk about it. The lack of connection, touch, and caring is that. You may start having a challenge with the other person, so you stop touching. When you stop touching, you stop creating those chemicals that create that attachment between the two of you. And it can be just people, you know, oh, we grew apart.
And also not just physical connection. Sometimes it's an emotional, mental connection. Mm-hmm. I have a friend, he and she, and the common comment is they are living together, but I feel it's separate because no have a conversation, don't have any kind of emotional connection. So, and sometimes say I am next to him or to her, and I feel alone because it's no connection. So that's
and it can be the lack of connection, but you can feel that connection as communication, discussion. Mm-hmm. It can be touch. It can be sharing of the things you do together.
Watch up movies together or read a book together. So that's
do a show together.
Yeah.
The fidelity is difficult when the chemicals subside, the lust chemicals, the attraction chemicals in our brain that are dumped into our bodies when we first meet somebody, and they go away, and they go away naturally over time. That we think, oh, we're not in love anymore. And it's simply nature, not playing a trick on us, but it's natural. And the problem is that when we first get into relationships when we're young, it is so intense. Like you're 16, 18, 20 years old, and you're meeting, and you're just in love so much, and there's so much chemical in your body. When you were 5 and 6, you never had that. So now you're in your early 20s, late teens, and you're being bombarded with these chemicals you never had before. And not only that, it's the prime time of your life from evolution to have these feelings of trying to make a connection with somebody. And it is amazing. And it's something like, I don't know what this is. But it's a feeling like you go, oh, I want this feeling. I want this feeling. And when that feeling kind of goes away, you go, oh, I must not be in love anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a biological trick. Don't be fooled by chemistry.
Yeah, no, so redo, you know? You maybe create some kind of stuff to create this emotion, chemical in your body with your own partner, yes. Not with somebody else. Yeah.
It's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, you were just talking about, you get along great, but sex life is not passionate. The passion mm-hmm. goes away, and that's another part of this lack of love. Sexual tension. Ooh, this is something that happens. Now that things are subsiding between you and your partner, there's this sexual tension with a friend or a coworker because it's the unknown.
Yeah.
It's evolution saying, oh, mate with a new person because this is strange and exciting and it will help the continuation of the species.
Mm-hmm. So your animal instinct starts to show in your brain, and you feel like excited to
this is like natural, like wanting, and I this is going to sound weird, but wanting to have an affair, wanting to have an extramarital affair or multiple partners or something. This is kind of what nature kind of pushes us to do, but life and living and support of family and really building trust, we've put layers and layers and layers on top of our evolution in what we've learned and how we act as a society. And that pushes us in a different direction than what we would do as animals.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll talk about the evolutionary part of cheating in a moment as well. So you start talking with this person at work who now you're sharing some interesting conversations with, and you have this passion, and it becomes a shared passion because both of you are what is it, doing this little dance, and mm-hmm. and so it ignites into some kind of passion, and you think, oh, I'm in love again, and it's
and also this is attached with the low self-esteem, where somebody feel is not attractive, I feel and then somebody start to pay attention to you, and like you say in your office, you say, oh, I have a possible attraction for somebody. So your ego start to create this kind of fantasy, and you feel good mentally because somebody different told you a nice, oh, the teacher is so good.
Oh, thank you.
You're awesome.
I've been working out.
Yeah. Okay. After
this,
the show.
By the way, this is only the first of the eight, and low self-esteem is one of the ones coming up here. So marriage itself, or a committed relationship with someone, doesn't make you exempt from falling in love or chemically being attracted to someone else. And you know how we always talk about chemical attraction, is that it's biology, it's evolution, it's chemistry, that there's this we're gonna have, quote, attraction to many people. We may be attracted to somebody initially, and it turns out that they're the wrong person for us.
Yeah.
But the difference between someone being the wrong person for us or we being the wrong person for them and chemistry just saying, oh, we're just attracted to so many people. You know, my attraction is fluid. I'm attracted here, I'm attracted here. Yes, we're attracted in lots of places, but that doesn't mean it's great to just live off our chemistry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That part of it is,
and we say we can hurt many people with this attitude because
or love many people with this attitude.
So we don't want to hurt, but we love.
So evolution has built lust into us
mm-hmm.
as a way to keep us going, and it's really strong and powerful because we only have a few years, or we used to only have a few years, to be able to use this time to get together with someone and have offspring.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not many people made it to their 30s or 35s a couple thousand years ago, I assume. The relationships, some relationships are meant to end, though, too. And with that, instead of cheating, you know the relationship's ending, and the relationship with integrity. Have the discussion. Don't just cheat and then kind of get to a point where, oh, I got to end the relationship because I'm cheating. or they find out, and that mm-hmm. breaks it up. So that's almost like people trying to force it out. So when someone feels chemistry, even though they're in a relationship, but they're feeling chemistry elsewhere, they may not feel like they should be saying anything to their partner, and they want to see how this chemistry plays out, and then they're basically cheating on themselves. They're cheating on the new person. They're cheating on their partner. We'll go on to the next. Number two, we'll go through these a little faster. Anger. Talking about this, you're hurt by your partner. They did something bad to you. Maybe they cheated on you. Maybe they didn't, but maybe they're spending longer time at work and you're really angry with them not paying attention to you. So you're angry. You want the partner, your partner, to go through the same pain that you felt or are feeling. They hurt you, so now you're going to hurt them. And I think you just talked about this, is retaliatory infidelity.
Yeah.
You know, somebody 3 years ago, you were just starting a date, and now they told you, you know, when we were just starting our dating, I did go out with somebody else while we were dating. And you're so angry how they could cheat on you, not before you were really dating seriously, but during that. And now you're like, I got to get back at them. So I'm going to cheat now.
So we are even in the relationship.
Even Steven. Getting back to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Self-esteem. Low self-esteem and feeling insecure. You want to feel better. If somebody shows interest, it builds your confidence. It raises your confidence, especially if they're younger, attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is
they hide in and yeah. they start to dating in secret place.
Secret place.
That just make it excited.
Yeah, so exciting. Yeah. It's very exciting.
How would you know that? Sorry.
Attention can feel flattering, mm-hmm. right? And players, I threw this one in here for players can use these things to their advantage. If they know you have low self-esteem, they can say, you know what? If I just say, oh, you're the most beautiful. Oh, you're not understood. Oh, they're not listening to you. Oh, I would listen to you. They can do this to build up your self-esteem and confidence with them that, oh, they're a wonderful person. But they can be just using a weakness of your own rather than you building your own self-confidence in yourself holistically.
And some people lie. When somebody is low self-esteem and somebody, like that you see the player, they like to have some relationship with married people because the one commitment, that is the best component, the two elements. So one person, they don't like commitment, is fine attraction with married person because it's the best way that you keep sexual activity.
So a married person with low self-esteem.
Yeah, and okay. not have commitment for relationship
yeah.
because you are married.
Oh, I don't want to destroy your marriage. You know, that's very
exactly.
important, but I will love you.
Yeah.
uh-huh. Which you just
I
said,
see many
right?
many cases like that, yeah.
Low commitment. There you go. The other part of what you just said. So somebody who is difficult to commit to a single person, they may still love the other person, but they just can't commit. This is somebody in the relationship, though. Nervous about the relationship. They might have had past traumatic or dramatic relationship. But the nervous part about this relationship is they're nervous that maybe something will happen because of a past relationship, so they don't want to commit to you. They will not commit until fears are resolved. They may cheat in order to prevent you cheating on them. A preemptive strike. You know, it's like, if I cheat, then if they do, I won't be hurt by it. I'm going to cheat before they cheat. So this is somebody with low commitment. But somebody could be not wanting to make a commitment, not because they're hurt, but as you said, they're a player. And they find somebody who's in a relationship already. They want to have only sexual relationship. They don't want to have a house for them. They don't want to pay money for them. They'll go to dinner and
cook and clean.
Yeah, and on the weekend, do whatever they want. Go out with their buddies or go out with the other person that they're dating.
Yeah.
Or the other person that they're dating.
Exactly.
Or the other person.
And as I told you, when you have this kind of relationship, you're sleeping with six people minimum, you know, at the same time. Just like weird.
It is. So the number five reason was the need for variety. Someone's just bored. I'm so bored of this relationship. I need to find variety. chronic cheaters. You know, they just cheat because that's it's almost like, you know, we talk about addiction.
No, but also that can be how you grew up, because if you grow in family with the parent cheating,
yep.
So you understand or believe that cheating is something normal or part of this. So maybe you know it's not normal, but you recognize in your subconscious that cheating is something that happened. So they repeat the same patterns for the family.
And I think people have said that, like, in certain certain professions, there's more cheating than other professions.
Yeah.
And part of it has to do with the type of profession. It's a high-stress profession. It's very exciting. Police work, very stressful. Fire, you know,
nurse,
different things.
Nurse at the hospital,
and,
yeah.
And there's a lot of...
Because you are close to the death and the life, so you feel like the...
You want to seize life while you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all those heightened emotions, and you may be around other people who have heightened emotions, and you mistake that for, yeah. lust or mm-hmm. sex or passion.
So now we're working in remote and home, so, you know, nothing about
that. Well, our child was telling us that there's so many people doing remote work, they have less opportunity to meet
for
other
anything,
people.
For anything, we talked with Alfredo, you know, yeah. about that. So working in home, you know, have office friends, you know, yeah. have a
You're not
party.
Meeting friends of friends. You're not going
nothing.
Out after work and meeting other friends of their friends.
Yeah, my hour the last yeah. week, I say, because it's 100 people and the meeting is almost 45. Okay, we have celebration because you are certified. Mm. Okay, but everybody is in home. So you don't have the way they do the barbecue stuff because everybody live in different state, country. So
they have to do what I used to do when I was young, mail order.
What is that?
Mail order. You'd write away and you'd order a date.
Okay.
No, you know mail order bride? Never heard
no.
of that?
Okay. You come with the topic.
All right. Stick on topic.
Yeah.
Neglect. Here's one. A relationship is a farm needing tending. So you're in a relationship, your partner is like a plant. Your partner's like a small animal. And if you're not taking care of them, that relationship itself can start to dwindle, die, not do well. And so when somebody feels like they're being neglected, they're going to look for someone who takes care of them. It's almost similar to self-esteem.
Yeah, because this is work 50-50%, so I cannot wait for my partner to take care of me. I have to take care, and maybe I have that.
Yeah, hey, or you don't say anything about it.
Yeah.
So what takes people away from paying attention to the other? You've got work, you've got hobbies, friends, or long distance. And sometimes people feel like they're being neglected, they get upset about it, and so they're not paying attention to me, I'm going to do this for myself. And they use neglect. Again, these are reasons people say, oh, I cheated because I was neglected. They're, again, excuses for the behavior.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, is it justified? Is it not justified? That's not for us to say. It's that these are being put out there as reasons. Partner may not realize that they're being distant because they're involved in all these things and they're really busy. They come home and they're too tired to talk.
Yeah.
And then you go seek attention from someone else.
One day you go back home and you see yourself with your wife. Say,
what? How did I get here?
It's other joke.
So some people need more sex than others. So sexual desire has been used as a reason. I need more sex. They don't want to have sex as much as I do.
So you have to buy the sex meter.
The sex meter. You have to be able to measure how much sex each person wants. Some people, let's see, if desire is lopsided, it can cause some issues in a relationship. But part of this is just not being open and clear about what you want in a relationship. Some people say, I am this way, they're that way, but they're willing to talk to some stranger about the sex they want to have, but they're not willing to talk to their partner about the sex they want to have.
Yeah.
Because I could get hurt by my partner if I say this and they say they don't want to. But by this person I'm not having a relationship, I can say, oh, I want to do all this wonderful, strange, exciting stuff. And since I'm not in a relationship with them, I don't have to worry about it breaking. And then when they say, oh, I want to do that exciting stuff too, I start thinking of doing the exciting stuff out of the relationship rather than in the relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of that can be just simply miscommunication. What else do we have here? We have... situation or circumstance. change of routine, travel for work. So now suddenly your spouse has to, or your partner has to start traveling for work. And because of it, you're now left by yourself, or they're out meeting people in different areas that they've never met before, and it's now a situation or circumstance. This is an excuse. Oh, I was in Seattle, I was in Michigan, I was in, always in Toronto. I was in Toronto and I met this person and I didn't expect it. It was the situation. Alcohol is a common excuse. I was drinking and it wasn't my fault.
I don't know what happened.
I blacked out. I don't know what happened. I woke up 3 days later. Mm-hmm. Social media, especially at night. So you find yourself texting and putting stuff on social media and communicating people that you don't normally with. And then over a couple of weeks, you find out you've been talking to somebody for hours on end. That's something that comes up as an excuse. Oh, well, I didn't mean to.
I just feel that we have an interesting topic to talk for 5 hours.
We had such a connection. So you haven't met them in person. You haven't talked to them over the phone, but you've been texting back and forth social media, and you have this wonderful connection, you think, because you build up this fantasy in your mind, and chemistry hits you. Coming home late. Oh, you come home late from work, and now, or your partner comes home late from work, and you go, oh, there's something's going on there, I don't trust them. And again, since you're starting to not trust them, you're like, look, you know, if I don't trust them, I'm going to do this. So being used as an excuse. The other is putting off having sex. If you're both just too busy to do stuff, one of you may feel like they're not wanting to be with me because they're with someone else. Like, oh. And then lastly, too tired.
Oh, yes.
Such a tiring day. I'm too tired tomorrow. Too tired tomorrow. Again, I need to make a change.
Yeah, something happened. So I need to put some new person in our life to feed energy.
We do. This has been the longest opening to any of our shows ever. When we come back, we're going to talk more about reasons not to cheat. When we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and James Gulnick. Actually, Jim Gulnick.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about reasons not to cheat. And of course, we started off with reasons to cheat. We talked about what people said reasons were to cheat. And these were the excuses or what they perceived to be why they did what they did when they were caught or when they responded to a survey. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did this because of this. And it was always, here are the reasons. Number one was not feeling loved. So now we're going to talk about the actual reasons people cheat.
Okay. The real one.
The real reasons. Real reasons people cheat. And it all has to do with chemistry. And you're a victim because you have no choice in the matter. You're subject to the chemistry of your body, your human body. You have no option. You can't do anything otherwise. You're stuck being human. Oh, well.
Or robot.
There we go. Or robot.
I am robot.
So, love and lust neurochemicals. Evolution primed us with romantic love and infatuation as motivational drives, not emotions, but drives that are chemical, to make us want to be with people and mate, make us feel like we're in love, make us feel like we have this quote emotion, but it's chemical. Part of the brain's reward system, these feelings strengthen around these chemicals or because of these chemicals to compel lovers to seek partners for mating. Brain neurotransmitters, chemicals, are dumped into our bodies, our mind, and our brains, giving our reward system, oh my gosh, stimulus that makes this feel great and make us want to do this in order to have survival of the species. Mm-hmm. It's really sad, and it's so wonderful at the same time.
Yeah, so we need to populate the planet.
We do, and because of it, we get the opportunity to meet some wonderful people and maybe have lifelong relationships mm-hmm. with them. Mm-hmm. And in other cases, maybe meet somebody for a couple of days or a night. But it can be the most wonderful day or night. But if you're looking for something long-term, you have to get beyond that day or night and take it to that next level, next level, next level, realizing that those chemicals do go away and that things will be different. We talked about this last week when we were talking about anger and fear.
The amygdala.
Yeah, the amygdala. Well, the amygdala here takes part in this as well. That with the hypothalamus, these are parts of I'll have to go to my next slide to remember the word specifically, and I'll actually do that. Here we go. That they will dump chemicals into our body, get us ready for action, just like when we do that fight or flight reaction. We'll do the same thing when we're in lust, is that they will give us an emotional, make us feel emotional. This chemistry makes us feel emotional. And they will shut off our prefrontal cortex, or at least moderate its ability to make decisions. We get adrenaline rush. Our blood starts pumping. Our heart starts racing. We start getting sweaty. Our breathing quickens. Mm-hmm.
I hear people say, you look good.
You look so good. Oh, I am just, and you have energy, right? So yes. Dopamine is associated with pleasure, and the reward system is dumped into our brain, making us feel attraction to other person, making us feel attractive, making us feel sexy. And this is part of the chemicals that are dumped into us. The serotonin drops dramatically. And when that does, it also makes us become obsessive. So in this relationship, we become obsessive. We want to spend time with the person. We just start ignoring some things and focusing on others. This makes us feel a sense of euphoria, mm-hmm. as well as infatuation. That it's a chemical state that we're in. Yeah. And so these are the reasons we want to
explain what happened.
These are the reasons we want to have infidelity. Okay. Because we want to experience this again and again and again.
Yeah, especially when your body starts to feel like that. That is good.
Yeah.
Let me repeat. Yeah.
And it is. And I'm going into these next slides, and I'll try to get this quickly because these are very exciting in a way that being in lust over and over and over again is an addiction. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at infidelity as kind of an addiction. You know, oh, I'm not an addict. Well, if you're looking to cheat or you want to do it and you want to have this feeling again, it is the same thing that pushes the addict to have another relationship with drug, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's very similar in the reward system. There are four things in infidelity neuroscience. You get addicted to infatuation. Your self-control short circuits. And we talked about that, how the prefrontal cortex kind of cuts off. Testosterone takes the wheel. And that's in men. And how there is a difference in unfaithful brains. So in getting addicted to infatuation, with new love and infatuation, you get this high, and it's like a trance-like state, right? Mm-hmm. So you're feeling like a zombie.
Yeah.
But a good zombie, a zombie in love.
Zombie happy zombie.
Happy zombie. We may go from this lust to attraction and attachment, and you can get a long-term relationship out of it, and you can have a lot of satisfaction from that. In 6 months to 2 years, research shows, chemistry shows that those chemicals that initially were pounding through our veins and our brains mm-hmm. don't remain. Sugar. It starts to change. It's no longer there, goes down the drain. It leaves us feeling like, oh, we don't have that same feeling. And the body has to do that, because otherwise we'd collapse from having all that energy. It'd be like being on steroids your whole life, that your body just can't take it anymore. So lust is like a brain steroid for love.
So, and then you looking for a new person, or what is the brain doing?
Well, the brain, you may feel like you need to look for a new person in order to get another hit of this, of the lust drug, right? But people want to, when they feel this withdrawal from that feeling, they want to get a new person to feel it again, right? They want to recreate that zombie-like, trance-like, I'm in love state where everything is just beautiful and wonderful. Infidelity is like substance abuse. Mm-hmm. If you look at it that way, there's a lot of similarities. The self-control, when it short circuits, is that the brain, the hypothalamus and the amygdala of the limbic system, it wants to seek pleasure. So that's the stuff that's dumping the chemicals into our body that makes it us feel great. Where the prefrontal cortex, which is the logical piece of our brain, is saying, well, let me moderate. I want to feel good, but I want to do this the right way. That it makes you think twice before cheating. So if you're in a relationship and you start to feel these chemicals because you're getting close to somebody outside your relationship, if your prefrontal cortex is strong enough and in balance, you can say, yeah, I know I feel these things, but I realize this is chemistry. I realize this is biology. I realize, yeah, they're a nice person, but you know, I really shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. And that's a good balance between the two. But imbalance can cause you to give into your impulsivity.
Okay.
Studies show that people with low activity in the prefrontal cortex are more likely to get divorced. So this last statistic, which comes from Dr. Amen's studies, show that 39% of men and 40% of women who have been diagnosed as ADD, ADHD, have had physical affairs outside their relationship. It's about double normal. So one is going, oh, it's the ADHD, ADD that causes this. Or you could just say they're the same thing in a way. That, you know, where somebody, some of the things that define when you are diagnosed with ADHD or ADD are the same things that would cause you to be potentially infidelity.
It's the lack of awareness. So if you don't have awareness in your life, maybe you jump it.
Well, that was one, is that, what do you mean by awareness? Tell me what you mean by awareness.
More conscious in your life.
Conscientiousness.
Yeah, conscious.
Conscientiousness, and that goes into a study that we're about to go into too. Let's keep going, and we'll talk about that, is that sometimes this distraction that we associate with ADHD is like, oh, I'm interested over here, oh, I'm interested over here. It's this mindset that makes us more attracted to things outside the relationship we're in. So it can be the same exact, it's like saying, this book's blue and this book's blue, so therefore they're the same book. Well, they just both happen to be blue. They both happen to have the same ink on them. They're both caused blue because they both have blue ink. It doesn't mean one caused the other. So it doesn't mean ADHD caused the infidelity. It could be that people with ADHD tend to have the same
attitude
as people who... So it's just that it's correlated. Oh, that's what we're talking about. Correlation, not causation between that. So... testosterone has also been shown to impact infidelity. People with high testosterone levels have been lower empathy and higher sex drive. That the more testosterone, testosterone plays in the frame of mind that you have, the attitude you have, your drives, your sexuality. It is a recipe. High testosterone is a recipe. Well, actually, it itself isn't, but the lower empathy and higher sex drive is a recipe for cheating, separating, and getting divorced. And perhaps part of that comes from when you have this lower empathy, maybe you have less sensitivity, you're insensitive to what the impact is of your attitude and your actions. So it's just been shown to be correlated with. And finally, unfaithful brains have been shown to be a little bit different than faithful brains. And what does that mean? Can we just look at someone's brain and say, ah, they're unfaithful? Men who are monogamous differ from those that the brains of men who are monogamous are different than those of men who cheat. So the brain activation of faithful men, they had more, when they saw pictures of romantic older couples, their brains gave them reward chemistries. Whereas those who tended to be more unfaithful, they didn't, when they saw an older couple together, they didn't feel warm feelings. They didn't feel like, you know, they didn't feel like this was a good thing, as much so as those who were faithful. Okay. Which kind of, again, this is almost circular reasoning. Those who see older relationships as being wonderful tend to want to be in an older relationship. So I psychology for me as an engineer is kind of like a lot of circular reasoning. You do a study that shows your premise, your hypothesis, and it's because it makes sense that people who see a relationship when they're older as being a good thing and they feel good about it will want to be in a relationship long term because they want to be in that same good feeling. Mm-hmm. And they see that as a goal, an objective.
And also the other factor, that we have friends that is so religion, you know, so the belief or the kind of the belief, the divorce is not one option. So they say, okay, we need to stay together, but I cheating. Yeah.
And I wanted to, because you brought that up, that's very interesting. Again, monogamous men have more reward-related neural activity when they see these pictures of older couples together, kissing, holding hands. And so if you want to strengthen your relationship with your partner, have less opportunity, less potential for cheating, you want to strengthen your brain, feed your brain, get sleep, eat well, have good physical exercise, make sure your prefrontal cortex is strong. You're awake, and part of that is knowledge. Something we learned about today, which was the amygdala, I believe, was one of the spots where neurons generated from in the brain. So for neuroplasticity, a lot of that comes from our, I'm making a lot of assumptions here, but I'll go back and look at it, come from our limbic system, which is part of the older operating system. It's like, okay, here's more brain, here's more brain. And part of my theory, here's my theory to our audience, is that This I thought was good, is that when you're emotionally connected to a subject, to something you're interested in, and this is part of that emotional drive, this love, this anger, this fear, all these emotions, when they're into the subject that you're researching, you're creating more neurons more quickly. You're able to build your brain and learn that subject better when you're emotionally connected with it and you're really interested in it. If you're bored with something and you're trying to learn about it, what does your brain care if you learn about it, right? So passion on the subject you're learning is so important for the learning process and for you to remember and to build brain cells, better connectivity. Mm-hmm. That's my theory from today. Today we're talking about reasons not to cheat, reasons to cheat, why we cheat, chemicals of cheating, all that stuff. But not to be fooled by chemistry and to understand that your passion for whatever it is, a passion for a relationship will cause you to build stronger neurons, brain, cell activity, right? You'll grow that connection with your partner by being passionate about the relationship. Yeah. And therefore, it will be continually evolving. You'll both be new people. And therefore, even if you have ADHD like me, I'll still be attracted to Lizette because our relationship will always be changing every day.
I try.
The study that we're about to reference looked at reasons for not cheating. The whole reason for this show was to get to this point, reasons for not cheating. 47 reasons were looked at that could prevent people from cheating. There were 8 broad factors and 2 broader domains. Those 2 broader domains were the potential costs of cheating and the benefits of the current relationship. So again, costs from cheating. Would your family be upset at you? Would you lose something in the relationship? Will have less finances? You know, my religion will look badly at me. I can't do it. That these are the costs. The benefits of the current relationship was the other reasons not to cheat. The benefits had to do with what we did daily.
Yeah, yeah. So you need to create your own training for keep active your own relationship.
You do. And part of that is build the benefits of the current relationship mm-hmm. to the point where I have no thought of any other relationship having the benefits that I do with Lizette. That, yeah. Just having this show with you guys out there and with Lizette.
Yeah, yeah.
Where else could I do that?
Yes, you're right.
I'm right. And she agrees with me, or at least pretends
so
to.
Fine, but yeah.
Whatever it is, doesn't matter. At least I feel, as long as she fakes me into this reality, she can be my chemical, my new chemical.
Yeah,
Lizette.
So we act in a different person, so now I am... Sophia.
So costs of cheating included such things as I don't want to get in trouble, the social stigma, fear of my partner's reaction, feel ashamed if it gets out, have not been provoked, fear that it will happen to me. Those are the costs of cheating. And the benefits of the current relationship were basically, there were two dimensions of that. One was, I am satisfied with my relationship, and I would feel guilty. My relationship is so beneficial, I would feel guilty about doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't all the cost, it was just that I so value this relationship.
And something I asked to my friends, so if you put the balance, the good flavor for the emotional to cheating, you know, the old chemical stuff versus the stress to hiding, and it's a lot of stress. So,
sure.
So balance these and figure out what kind of life you want.
So I'm going to summarize these last slides here now. Women indicated a higher propensity not to cheat than men, especially if they were satisfied with their relationship. The higher participants scored in conscientiousness, the lower their likeliness to cheat. So find a partner high in conscientiousness. That also is the highest predictor of job success, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and performance at a job. The higher the participants scored in openness, the higher their likeliness to cheat. So openness meant openness to new experience, new things, novel, different things. So the least likely to cheat were women who are high in conscientiousness, low in openness, and in a satisfactory relationship. Most likely group to cheat are men who are not in a satisfactory relationship, who score low in conscientiousness and high in openness. Openness and opioids, whatever.
No.
They live in a context where male infidelity is not severely penalized. So again, most likely to cheat when you have low penalization from society.
Yeah, not society, promote in
yeah.
some societies.
Some promote it in the other.
Yeah.
So women are most likely not to in societies where there are severe consequences for infidelity. So I got to get to the end here, which is, here is what this study showed. I'm not going to say we agree or disagree, but let's see what we can learn from it. That men, more likely than women, employ threats to retain their mates. Threatening with consequences, men increase the probability that their partners will not cheat. Loss of status, loss of children, economic hardship, loss of a good relationship. And then the worst part about it is they can threat verbal or physical violence and abuse. And for women more than men employ appearance enhancement. This is what you'll lose if we break up.
Mm-hmm.
That the benefits of this relationship is one factor of what prevents men from cheating. And women can communicate to men what they have to lose every day if something happens in the relationship. And by being such a wonderful wife and being such a wonderful partner, being amazing in how you cook and how yes. we travel together and how we do this show, by understanding all these other dimensions and how we fit together, I can see what would be lost. And how wonderful the relationship is. And so if you look at that, build the relationship strong, create your dream relationship, communicate openly, discuss your desires yeah. with your partner, very important, look inside your relationship for all your fantasies, not outside, mm-hmm. and live a romantic lifestyle.
I like that.
Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Have a great week.
Bye.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.